Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
He looks at it like, well, if Keith can do this, then I can get through this practice, or I can get through this weight session, whatever the case may be.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo! Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo!
The Bills make me wanna...
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey Bills fans, welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast, and the only podcast that tells the story of Bills quarterback Josh Allen's relationship with an inspiring young fan that he calls Supercade. I'm your host, Nate, and we have a great show for you with Lindsay D'Arcangelo of The Athletic. She did a great interview with Josh, Cade, and Cade's family for The Athletic and was gracious enough to come on and expand on that. So sit back and enjoy another reason to love this Bills team and Josh Allen. She is a contributing writer for The Athletic Buffalo, but she's also written for Deadspin, The Ringer, ESPNW, The Buffalo News, and more. I'd like to welcome Lindsay D'Arcangelo to the podcast. Lindsay, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. You did a wonderful piece for The Athletic about quarterback Josh Allen and his relationship with 13-year-old Cade Spinello. For those that don't know the story, can you please tell the listeners who Cade is and how he and Josh met?
Sure. I'll do a little summary. Josh and Cade met about 3 years ago. Josh lives in, or actually both of them live in California, but Cade is a 13-year-old boy who, when he was five, was diagnosed with a benign brain tumor. Even though it's not cancerous, or it's not malignant, it still is cancerous. But even though it's not malignant, it's still growing, it's still spreading, and it affected his vision. Really badly. So they were trying to do an operation to get it out, and it caused, he had a stroke that caused paralysis on the right side of his body. And so basically ever since he was five, and like I said, he's 13 now, it's been eight years of him just doing rehab and physical therapy, and he can only see out of, he's fully blind in his left eye, and he can only see out half of his right. And it's just been, you know, for a kid that age, it's been a struggle. And because he is considered a cancer survivor, he's part of an organization called Never Ever Give Up. And the short form of that is NIGU. And it's an organization that Jordan Palmer is part of. And Jordan Palmer, as you may know and your audience may know, is kind of a QB guru for up-and-coming QBs, NFL prospects. And Jordan worked with Josh. So Jordan would bring kids from this organization to come hang out with these QB prospects and just throw the ball around, just kind of be out and around, being, you know, physical, being kids. And that's when Josh and Cade first met. And like I said, that was 3 years ago. But about a year ago, when Josh was out with Jordan training for the NFL Combine and then the NFL Draft, he and Cade just started spending more time together. And so from there, they really developed a genuine friendship that has blossomed since.
So you mentioned that it's been 8 years since Cade had the tumor removed. What does he still work on and fight with on a daily basis in his therapy?
Well, he had part of the tumor removed. Part of it still remains. So it wasn't a full removal. And so he still has to deal with the effects of that. He can raise his right arm about shoulder length. He has no hand movement in his right hand, which he's still working on. So he's still working on physical therapy. He can he can walk, but he's still trying to figure that out with his right leg. He wears a brace. He often trips a lot because of that. And then with his vision, he's learning how to read Braille. So there are those things that he continuously works on as a result of the tumor and, like I said, the stroke that he had during the operation.
So he's doing every day he's doing Braille work, physical therapy, and just a lot of different other things before he even starts school, which he does go to also.
Yes, he goes to school full time with this as well. And basically he'll go to physical therapy, then he'll go to school, and then at school he does some Braille work, and then he has to come home and do more physical therapy and homework, all of that. So it's a lot for a kid his age to have to deal with.
So in saying that, I mean, Kate has mentioned that he sees Josh as someone that looks up to him for inspiration. Now, I mean, going through all the things you just mentioned on a daily basis, still fighting through it, still battling, did you see that when you interviewed Josh, that Josh actually looks up to Kate as well?
Oh, yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I sort of tried to frame it that way, that this is a give-and-take relationship. It's not just Kate looking up to Josh and Josh kind of sort of throwing him a bone. It goes both ways. I think Josh is just very amazed. He may have never come across a kid like Cade before, and I don't think a lot of us do in our normal daily lives. And so he was very amazed by how much work Cade puts in to just getting better and better each day. And it makes him want to apply that to his own life, to his own career. And, he looks at it like, well, if Cade can do this, then I can get through this practice, or I can get through this weight session, whatever the case may be.
Wow, that's great. In talking with Josh and Kate, I mean, how willing is Josh to visit still and talk with Kate and be a part of his life, even now that, you know, it's past the NFL combine and the draft and he's part of an NFL team now and he's a starting quarterback?
So I wouldn't look at it what he's willing. I think they're friends. And you know, Jordan told me that anytime he talks to Josh, because he still follows up with Josh and the other QBs that he's worked with, and he says Josh asks about Cade pretty much every time they're on the phone. And Cade's father has said the same thing. You know, Josh is always, any opportunity he gets, wants to know how Cade is doing. Last season, or during the season, Josh had Cade out for a Bills game. He brought his family out to Buffalo. They went to a Sabres game too. They kind of did stuff in and around Buffalo, and it was a nice thing, he said, for him to be able to do with the platform that he has. You know, kind of using Bills PR as a leg up, a way to do that. But it doesn't stop there. I mean, Josh surprised Kate for his 13th birthday when he was in town, and I think, you know, they'll continue to like hang out whenever, you know, time deems possible.
I mean, you just mentioned Cade coming to Buffalo. I mean, how welcome has Cade and his family felt from the Pagulas and the city of Buffalo when they visited from their home in California?
They loved it here. And I mean, you could tell. I mean, I did just do a phone call with them. I did a Skype call. So I got to see their expressions and everything. And they just were literally beaming about Buffalo. They joked that they want to move here. They just felt, you know, very embraced by the community and just by the Pagulas and everybody involved in the Bills organization and Josh himself. They just felt so very welcomed. And they love the experience, and they said they can't wait to come back again. And they're all Bills fans now. I mean, this has just completely turned their world into Bills Mafia. pretty much.
So Josh wears a never ever give up wristband from the foundation that Cade and many other children like him benefit from. How much does that symbol mean to Josh, and how much is it catching on in the rest of the NFL?
I'm not sure how many players sport it, but I know that other QBs that Cade has met and Jordan has worked with have worn it, and it's across all of the professional sports. Like I said, I don't have a number as far as how many athletes work, but I know it's definitely they're out there, they're wearing it. And Josh doesn't take his off. Cade gave him the bracelet last this time last year. And Josh had already had one, but his broke, so Kate gave him another one. And so now Josh just never doesn't take it off. He wears it everywhere. He wears it during practice. He wears it even during games, even though it's under his TV play sheet on his left hand. But, yeah, because every time he looks at it, he's kind of reminded of you know, taking things a step further. He's reminded of what other people have to go through and how, you know, he can just push a little harder. And he's reminded of Kate. So so it definitely means a lot to him to have that bracelet. And, yeah, I don't see him taking it off anytime soon. He was very proud of it. He was sitting in the interview, and it was he kept pointing at it and referencing it throughout the interview. So
wow. Oh, that's great. That's great. And actually, I think you mentioned Patrick Mahomes is actually going to wear it on the cover of Madden this year, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of people don't realize is that Kate met all these other QBs, Sam Darnold, Kyler Murray, you know, and they sport it too. And so he has met Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick's going to be on the cover of Madden, as you said, and he's going to be wearing the bracelet. So that's just another way of these guys using their platforms to help bring awareness and attention to a good cause.
Oh, that's great. Now, you've written articles on a ton of different topics over the years. What's it like to cover a story like this that shows not only the spirit of a young child still battling different challenges, but also the personality of a young QB that has captured the hearts and hopes of Bills fans?
I love these stories. I really do. And you're right. I do write a lot about different things, but it's these kind of human interest stories that really just really kind of get inside me and that I love exploring. And I love putting out there because, you know, I'm a fan of the feel good story. I like people reading something that I've written, walking away with some insight or a lesson or just, you know, a different point of view. And I think these are the kind of stories that we need more of in this world, especially these days. So it was a pleasure to write.
Great. Now, where can people find out more information on NIGU, the Never Ever Give Up Foundation, and the work Jordan Palmer and many others do?
So there's a website for the organization. It's just NEGU. .org, and everything you need is right there. And I believe they have a Twitter account too, a Never Ever Give Up NIGU Twitter account that they're always posting things on. And I know Josh props up the organization whenever he can as well. So there's multiple ways that people can find out about it.
Okay. So besides your articles on the Bills, which you've done a lot of, obviously, with some interviews of some past players and some really cool stuff like that, you also write about the Buffalo Buttes, which is the Buffalo women's hockey team, and the WNBA. Mm-hmm. What are you working on next for The Athletic that readers can look forward to?
I've got a few things that we're getting ready to do that, unfortunately, something I can't mention.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that's under wraps, but I'm very, very excited about it. It's something that's right in my wheelhouse. And something I'm going to be contributing to this summer. So there's that. I'm kind of exploring what's going on with the Buttes right now since the NWHL is moving forward. But, you know, I'm sure you've heard and your audience has heard that 200 players are sitting out this season no matter what happens. So there's that. We're not really sure what the Buttes are going to do moving forward. So we're kind of wait and see on that. And I'm still doing Q&As with old Bills players, which I love to do. I love catching up with these guys. It's so many unique stories and points of view and experiences. And I think Bills fans really, really like to read them. Yeah, so that's primarily what I'm going to be working on. And anything else that, you know, kind of pops up that involves Buffalo sports or Western New York. I am going to be doing some preliminary stories on the UB women's basketball team going forward before the season starts next year. So lots of good stuff.
You mentioned, I've seen you've done a bunch of different Q&As with retired Bills players. I mean, what's that experience like talking to these guys? I mean, are they all kind of similar? Are they all a little bit different? Do they all look back at their time in Buffalo, you know, the same as us fans do?
Yeah, and it's usually I try to do the air of the 90s, even though I don't solely focus on that, but I try to pick players who maybe had a good experience here. And even if they didn't, I mean, that wouldn't deter me from doing it. You know, everybody has a different experience, but pretty much everyone I've talked to has enjoyed Buffalo for one reason or another. And I think that speaks to our city and our community. Yeah, even if things didn't end well or, you know what I mean, as far as them getting traded or whatnot. So yeah, it's been great for me personally because I grew up during the 90s where I watched these guys play. So to be able to get to just have conversations with them, just person to person, is I'm not gonna lie, it's a thrill for me to get to do as well.
Did you ever think that while watching them in the 90s that someday you'd be talking to them and kind of reliving your childhood or anything like that?
Not at all. So I always knew I wanted to be a writer. I just wasn't sure what realm that was going to be in. And I always loved sports. So to be able to have to combine those two things and to for that to be my job now is kind of surreal. But I'm just really glad that it worked out that way because I can't see myself doing anything else.
Yeah, that's really great. That's a great story. So, Lindsay, they can find your work at The Athletic. Where can folks find you on Twitter?
So I'm at Dark Angel 21, and that's D-A-R-C Angel 21. Just to play on my last name, you know, trying to be a little creative. I post all my work there, and you know, I like to engage in discussions with people, you know, regarding sports, and, you know, I'm pretty open-minded. So, yeah. Or, you know, if you want to look at my past work, too, I think you can visit me at my website, lindsaydarkangelo.com. It has a lot of my past articles and stuff there. Okay. Books I've written, things like that.
Okay, great. Great. Well, I mean, personally, I've been meaning to get a subscription to The Athletic because of, like, the great writers that I've read before, like Matthew Fairbairn and Tim Grant, just that I'm familiar with. And when I read your piece and realized that you were also part of this group, I mean, I just had to personally pull the trigger on that. So so thank you for sharing this story. I mean, it makes me a bigger Bills fan and makes, you know, makes loving the guys that play for us, you know, even easier. You know, when you can see the human side like this.
Yeah, it's and that's what I like about the kind of writing that I do. And it's it gives you insight into the player, not just what happens on the field, the X's and O's. You know, and I think it's a good combination. We have a great team at our site. We have everybody, everything's covered. We have everyone does something different. So it's a good team. It's a good combination of information and articles for people to read.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd recommend it to anyone. So, Lindsay, it's been a pleasure to finally speak with you. And thank you so much for coming on and telling this story and talking Bills with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Anytime. It's always fun to do local podcasts and things of that nature. I really enjoy it.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Can I be honest for a moment? If you've been listening to our podcast for a year or so now, you know that I wasn't the biggest fan of the Bills drafting Josh Allen. Part of it was that his skill sets were just similar to quarterbacks that had failed here in Buffalo. He was tall like EJ. He had a rocket arm like Losman. He was smart like Fitzpatrick. He was mobile like Tyrod, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of the reasons why I didn't want Josh Allen was because of what the scouts and analysts were telling me about him in college. Now, I never watched a Wyoming game specifically. I never saw him operate. So, I mean, what do you do when you don't know a lot about a subject, right? You turn to the experts and figure that they're right because they know more than you do, you know? So in that space of believing experts and analysts that have a greater knowledge of the game than you, you sometimes forget that experts are wrong too. Now, you know, experts are one of the reasons why, you know, during this draft, I love the Ed Oliver picked. I never watched a Houston Cougars game, but all of the experts told me that Oliver could potentially be the next Aaron Donald. I guess my point is I didn't want Allen when he first came here. So if you listen to our 2018 Draft Night podcast, I was a little disappointed, as it sounded like a lot of Bills fans were too, along with me. I'm sure a lot of you out there were thinking the same thing, like, oh no, not Josh Allen. But something switched for me this season, and I really did become a fan. Now, there were passes he made that I really haven't seen since Jim Kelly was here. There were frozen ropes over the middle hitting wide receivers in stride that I can't remember. I can't remember the last time a quarterback had done that. Maybe Bledsoe and Moulds. You know, and you talk about mobility. I mean, there were runs that Josh Allen made this last season that Tyrod hadn't done in the 3 years he was here. And unlike any quarterback I can remember, this team follows the kid and hyped him nonstop. I mean, he was a leader even as a rookie. I mean, that's just so rare. And my point is, he clearly has some flaws in his game still, and his career will be made by fixing some mechanics and making some better decisions. But I've never liked a QB like this since, I don't know, Flutie? I mean, Josh has it. And stories like the one about he and Cade that Lindsay shared with us, I mean, just make me have a bigger man crush on this guy. I hope that he succeeds in the NFL, not just because I'm a fanboy and I want the Bills to win every season, but because I feel like I have a true affinity for this guy, for Allen, and I just want him to succeed as a person. He just seems like a good dude. So I'll add Kate's Foundation, the Never Ever Give Up Foundation's website, to the show notes if you'd like to donate there. And since we've been looking for a charity to donate to through our TeePublic store, we'll make a donation today, and any Bill shirts we sell before our next podcast, we will donate that money to the NEGU Foundation, the Never Ever Give Up Foundation. So check out all of our Bills designs at teepublic.com/stores/CTW pod. Now the CTW pod is just like our Twitter handle at Circling the Wagons Pod, CTW pod. So we'll also be in the show notes. I'll share that store with you guys. Plus it's almost Father's Day. I know Mother's Day just went by, but it's Father's Day. So get him a Josh Allen Hurdling the Haters shirt or a McDermott Trust the Process shirt. Man, I just got one for myself. I love it. It fits great, feels good, and we've gotten great feedback on it. Thanks again to Lindsay Darkangelo of The Athletic for coming on and talking Josh and Cade with us. You can follow her at DarkAngel21. That's DarkAngel21. I look forward to talking to her in the future and appreciate you guys listening and subscribing during this long time between the draft and training camp. You can find us Circling the Wagons. And on this channel, you can also find Rumblings Q&A with Matt Warren, Breaking Buffalo Rumblings with Anthony Marino, and Blitzed Bills. So for me, Nate, go Bills. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod @gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
You know, I wasn't going to bring this up after that great interview with Lindsay, and then this news comes up that I just have to talk about. I mean, if anyone was listening to the Supercade thing and doesn't want to listen to this discussion about Derek Anderson, then feel free to turn it off. But for those of you that there was this thought going around while Derek Anderson was here that he should be a player coach or whatever the hell that means for the Buffalo Bills and for Josh Allen. And for the life of me, as a Bills fan, as somebody who watches a team and does a stupid podcast for the team, I have no idea why you would want him as a player coach and why people, and a lot of people, like even prominent people on Twitter, were saying, oh, it'd be nice if he could have a player advisory role or a player coach role. And the whole time I'm thinking, why? Why are we putting Derek Anderson up on this pedestal? What has he done to deserve this? I mean, not that I don't even like the guy. So I can't even say that without it making it sound like I don't like the guy. I have no problem with Derek Anderson. I think he's he's not a fine player anymore. He's very old and he's clearly past his prime. But I guess there's a lot of fans saying that he should be part of Josh Allen's development still and stuff like that. And to me, I guess my response is they have a quarterback coach. They have Ken Dorsey. That's what Ken Dorsey's job is. Derek Anderson's job isn't to coach Josh Allen. It's to mentor him, I guess, to show him how a real pro, you know, does things, which I can definitely see. Okay, so this last year, I'm sure, was very useful. And a lot of people's arguments to him being a player coach was that Allen talked so highly about Derek Anderson as a player, as a pro, and learning a lot from him. And it's like, yeah, I get it. You realize, though, that every rookie that's ever came into the league has always talked about the veteran QB ahead of him or behind him like that. Like, I'm learning from this guy or I'm learning from that guy. I remember Colt McCoy was doing the same thing in Cleveland for Jake Delhomme. And Jake Delhomme was awful and terrible at that point in his career. And Colt McCoy was like, it's really great to learn from him. They always do that. We always say that, you know, about the guys ahead of us. That's just the way it was. And I believe that Josh Allen actually thought that, because before him, ahead of him, was A.J. McCarron, who was never a starter, and Nathan Peterman, who should never have been a starter but was one. So, I mean, after those two guys, I mean, Derek Anderson's going to walk in like freaking Joe Montana compared to that. So I do believe he was useful for what he is. But you cannot give him credit. You cannot give Derek Anderson credit for Josh Allen's progress during the season. You just can't. He's not the reason why Josh Allen had a good second half. The injury is what is the reason why Josh Allen had a good second half. It allowed him to step away from a starting role that he shouldn't have been thrown into, that he was never meant to be thrown into. He was supposed to be the second string quarterback, and Nathan Peterman was supposed to be the starter. And then within the first half of the first game, Josh Allen became the franchise quarterback and had to become the starter. They did not prepare him for that in training camp. In the offseason, he was not getting all first team reps with all wide receivers and running backs and offensive line like he should have. So he was not ready for it. So after 4 weeks of being injured and not being able to start, he was able to kind of acclimate himself to the pro game, to the players that he's playing with. So I guess I have nothing against Derek Anderson, mind you. He's a fine person, I guess. But people were saying, well, he's the reason why Cam Newton did so well in Carolina. And I can see that's why Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott brought back Derek Anderson, because of the work he did with Cam Newton. But don't give Derek Anderson credit for the things that Cam Newton has accomplished in his career. Cam Newton came out as a number one overall pick after winning not only the JUCO National Championship, but then he won the national championship in Auburn against Alabama. This was Nick Saban's Alabama he won against. So it's not like he came out of nowhere and all of a sudden he was like a seventh round pick and Derek Anderson helped him become the guy who he is today. I mean, everyone wanted Cam Newton. I remember the Bills wanted him, but he didn't slip to three. So this whole narrative, that's all I wanted to talk about with this. And the reason why I'm kind of glad that Derek Anderson retired, and it sucks, mind you, that he retired on a concussion that ended his career essentially, and he never was active on the roster again. And that does suck. And I feel bad for him. And, you know, it's unfortunate way, especially to come into this team, as terrible as they were, you know, how many games in the season, 6 or 7 games into the season, come out of retirement playing golf, and then to lose every game you start and have no offensive line, have no wide receivers or tight ends to really throw to, and then get beat up and throw and, you know, have another concussion. So that really does suck. I do feel bad for the guy for that. But just don't give him credit for what Cam Newton has done, what Josh Allen has done, because he was in Arizona for a year. Let's not forget, he was in Arizona ahead of John Skelton that season. And John Skelton didn't do anything with his career, and he's out of the league. So if you're going to give him credit for Cam Newton and Josh Allen, then you have to take credit away for completely botching on John Skelton. I guess one of the reasons why I wouldn't say happy that Derek Anderson retired, but I was okay with it because Tyree Jackson is our third string quarterback now, and that's great. We have never had, as Bills fans, a third string quarterback with this much upside. I mean, think of all, I mean, this guy, I mean, he's no Jabron Hamden. For those of you that paid attention then, he's no Jabron Hamden. He's no Jeff Toole or anything like that. Like, these are the kind of third string quarterbacks we've dealt with. And like Tyree Jackson, who is not only a local UB product, but he's also has very close measurables to our starting quarterback, Josh Allen. He's only a couple of inches taller than Josh Allen. He's slightly faster than Josh Allen. He's got the same great cannon for an arm that Josh Allen has, and he still has the same struggles with completion percentage and intermediate throws that Josh Allen has been known for. So this is a guy that goes into the third string role. He's very raw, of course, very raw. But he was talked about being possibly a third round quarterback this last draft. So the Bills clearly wanted him. They paid him a $75,000 signing bonus, which up until that point, now it's been beaten this offseason, I found out. But up until last offseason, that was the highest signing bonus that any undrafted free agent had gotten. So they definitely wanted him. With him, the playbook, I imagine, would be very similar between Josh Allen and Tyree Jackson. And you have Matt Barkley as the true number two for now, for at least for the end of his contract, probably. So you have a guy, you have your franchise quarterback in Josh Allen. You have Matt Barkley, a very solid backup. At least he showed really well last season against the Jets. He destroyed them. And then you have this project, high upside, high ceiling quarterback that's very similar to Josh Allen. And when Matt Barkley's contract is up in 2 years, you'll have him hopefully as the backup. And you know what? Not for nothing. I'm really, like I said before earlier in the podcast, I'm really rooting for Josh Allen. And I'm hoping he's our franchise quarterback. Please, I hope he is. But if for some reason he's not, for whatever reason, you have to make sure that you have as many chips in the pot as possible. So another chip in the pot is Tyree Jackson. It's not Derek Anderson. We know Derek Anderson will never be a franchise quarterback. We don't know that about Tyree Jackson. So it's possible with a couple of years of NFL coaching and with his athletic ability, his size, his high upside, it's possible that he could potentially turn into, I don't want to say a franchise quarterback, but maybe a trade piece or something useful or a great backup to Josh Allen for the next 4 years. So that's what I'm hoping for. Again, you know, I don't want to, I'm not trying to crap on Derek Anderson, but we got to stop the love for this guy. I mean, he's just another quarterback. We've had a lot of, we've had Kyle Orton come through here. And nobody was like, Kyle Orton needs to be a player coach. I just think it's funny. I just had to let my thoughts be known on that. And also I found out through Matt Perino of New York Upstate is that Tyree Jackson also attends Jordan Palmer's QB camps, just like Josh Allen does. In fact, Tyree has actually stayed with Josh Allen in California when he's done for it. So that's cool. They already have a relationship. And so this is huge. This quarterback room, for the first time since I can ever remember, is just in such a great spot. Like I mentioned before, your franchise quarterback, your solid backup, veteran in Matt Barkley, and then you have your high upside third string quarterback. I mean, it's never been like this. Think about last season. Last season we had Josh Allen, Nathan Peterman, and AJ McCarron, and we were like, man, maybe one of these guys could be that good. Now we have three guys that could potentially be pretty good, if not, you know, above average. So, hey, anyways, if you guys are still listening, thanks for listening. I just had to get that off my chest. I don't know the next time we're going to record a podcast. I don't know if it's going to be next week or in 2 or 3 weeks because it's kind of like the off season, but I had to get that off my chest. At the very end of this podcast, after all the really cool Josh Allen Supercade stuff, which I'd highly recommend you guys read that story from Lindsay. But just had to get my thoughts on it. If you guys disagree with me or whatever, you know, I'm open to discussion, but there's just no proof that Derek Anderson was the reason why Josh Allen did well. And I just don't think he was. Anyway, guys, we'll talk to you guys again another time soon. Thanks for listening. Go Bills. Go Josh Allen, go Bat Barkley, and go Tyree Jackson. See you later.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.